إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, the second principle of Dawah, when we are talking about the how, the methodology. And in the methodology, I am speaking about the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because no methodology that anyone can invent after him can be better than his methodology. His methodology is divinely inspired, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore that is the methodology which we need to follow. And as I said, it begins with ta'alluq ma'allah, with the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The second part of the methodology is to work on your own akhlaq, because people listen with their eyes, not with their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. There is no such thing as da'watul Islam from somebody who is not respected for the kind of person that he is. You can talk till the cows come home, you can give the best lectures, you can do what you want, but at the same time, if you lie and you cheat and you deceive and you do all kinds of things like that, you abuse, you are bad to your family. Many times we see this, may Allah protect us. We see people who are great dawat, apparently, in the marketplace. This lecture, that lecture, so on and so forth, giving advice here, giving advice there. But when you get close to them and you find out something about how they are at home, then it's a very different picture. The children are unhappy, wife is unhappy, parents are unhappy, everybody is unhappy because this person is abusive, they are loud and they are horrible and they deny things to the people and all kinds of things. But this is not dawah, believe me, this is not dawah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, be good to your wives because I am the best to my wives. He was the best of people at home. He didn't just advise people to do good things, he did those things himself. So it is very important to work on your own akhlaq. And the way to work on your own akhlaq is to work primarily on yourself. For example, if you look at the zuhud of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yesterday I mentioned tahajjud, and among the ahadith relating to tahajjud, there is a beautiful hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that man the most who wakes up for tahajjud and then wakes up his wife. And he said, Allah loves that woman the most who wakes up for tahajjud and then wakes her husband up. But having said that, there are several ahadith where it is mentioned that Rasulullah ﷺ would pray tahajjud, and when he went into sujood, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha would be sleeping, he would just move her leg aside and he would make sajda. So there is a lot of evidence to show that Rasulullah ﷺ himself did not wake up Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha for tahajjud, even though he was praying tahajjud. Now this does not mean that he did not do what he advised people to do. What it means is that sometimes he woke her up, sometimes he didn't wake her up. And obviously there is no, I don't know of any hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to any of his other houses to wake up the other azwajatul mutahharat. The lesson and message we get is that in terms of zuhud, which is piety, which is working hard to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practice it on yourself. Don't impose it on others. That is important. Advising people, please wake up for tahajjud and so on, is a different thing. But forcing it on them. Similarly, you want to live a simple lifestyle, alhamdulillah, very good. But in the name of a simple lifestyle, if you want to force it on your family. Now, I'm not saying that encourage the you live a simple lifestyle, but encourage the family to be lavish. No. But there is a difference between reasonable expense, between satisfying your, simple desires, and being lavish and ostentatious. Obviously, being lavish and ostentatious is from the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called people who are lavish and ostentatious, the brothers of shaitan. Ikhwanu shayateen. Allah said the people who are ostentatious are the brothers of shaitan. So, we are not talking about that. We are talking about basic simple desires, basic fundamental needs, the need to be comfortable, the need to eat well and so on, if Allah has given you, then to deny that to the family because you are on this zuhud trip is not from the work of Dawah. This is not Islam. This is not Dawah. Don't practice Islam in a way where your family will start to hate Islam because of how you are forcing it and imposing it and shoving it down their throats. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. By all means, your own life, be as strict on yourself as you want. There is no problem with that. You can fast all day, you can, you know, do whatever you need to do. But remember also the hadith when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, people have huquq. Your family has a haq, your own body has a haq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a haq. Give the huquq to the people. So, very important for us to keep these things in mind and keep a sense of balance and not go off on a tangent where we end up with a negative effect. So, also with charity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran itself, where Allah said, don't give so much that your own hand gets stuck to your neck. So, Allah is not discouraging charity, but the people who are the people who deserve your charity the most, your own family. Your own family deserves your generosity and deserves your charity the most. And in your own family, the first position comes to your parents. So, those who have parents who are alive, the parents are the first mustahiqeen of your charity and your generosity. To the extent that zakat cannot be given to the parents. Zakat can be given to others, but zakat cannot be given to parents. That's a sign that zakat, that taking care of parents is the fard on the children. It's not, you can't give your zakat to them. That is part of your expense. You have to do that. Similarly, a husband cannot give zakat to his wife, but the wife can give zakat to the husband. Yeah, this is a famous hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where the wife can give zakat to the husband, but the husband cannot give zakat to the wife. Means what? Means that to look after the husband, to take care of the husband is not the responsibility of the wife, but vice versa. To take care of the wife is the responsibility of the husband. Whether or not, whichever one is richer. I mean, obviously, if the wife is giving zakat to the husband, it means that she has more money than the husband. But even when she has more money than the husband, it is not fard on her to spend that money on her husband. She can spend it on herself. Right. So, these are some basic principles of the justice of the Sharia and how the Sharia supports women, how the Sharia supports those who are weak, and it forces those who are strong, it forces the men to do things more than what they would otherwise have done. In the issue of charity, first come your parents, then come your people who are closer to you, and then people who are further away. So, this is very important for us to remember as far as that is concerned. So, working on yourself, working on your own akhlaq, controlling of anger, for example. This is a very, very important part of da'wah, controlling of anger, controlling of bukhul, you know, the stinginess and all that disease. I mean, I've done a whole series of Fajr reminders and lectures on the diseases of the heart, so I won't repeat all that here. But important for us to keep all of this in mind and ensure that we have, that we make sure that our hearts are free from all this. And this is a continuous thing. It's not as if one day you do it and your heart is clean, after that you are good for the rest of your life. No, this is work which has to be continuously done and over again. If you hurt somebody, go apologize. That is where your ego comes into the picture. Right. These personal enmities, it is such a sad and terrible thing today that personal enmities, personal hatred, personal dislike closes the doors for any good that can come from that person. We know this from the seerah as well, that people did not listen to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not for any reason but because they did not like him. Personally, they did not agree with him or something, so they did not listen to him, and obviously who loses? If you do not listen to the Prophet, you are the one who loses. So today, personal enmities are such that we carry this hatred in our heart for years and years and years based on one incident which would have happened. I'm not saying nothing happened. I'm not saying that you dreamt it up. Yes, something would have happened. But, and maybe the person even apologized, but you don't want to forgive. So you carry that hatred. Allah would have forgiven him. If he asked for forgiveness, Allah forgives him. Right? He asked you for forgiveness. Whether you forgave him or not, Allah would have forgiven him. So he is clean. But you are carrying this hatred with you all your life long. And how? Who does it benefit? What is the use of that? What is the use of carrying that garbage in your heart, you know, for your whole life? Who does it? It doesn't benefit you, doesn't benefit anybody, and it does not harm the one that you are hating. So many cases of this where we find this, even among those who should know better, people who are scholars and ulama, we have cases of senior ulama who will not look at one another, who will not share a dais with one another, who will not talk to one another, who will not go to the same majlis. What is this? From which religion is this? And then you say, I am a da'i of Islam. Which da'i of Islam? You don't even want to share a platform with another Muslim brother of yours, another alim, and then you call yourself an alim and he calls himself an alim. What ilm is this? This ilm which cannot bring about forgiveness, this ilm which cannot bring about the ability to talk to each other and to share a dais with one another. This is ilm. This is jahalat. This is from shaitan. There's no ilm in this. This is purely from shaitan. This is your ego. And unless you work on that ego and you break the neck of that ego, it will not do any good. And because of that, it is creating a division in the people. You have got your murids and the other one has got his murids, and all of them are misguided, including the two leaders. Very, very sad. Very sad, very shameful. And I am absolutely amazed how people don't see it themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to see what the truth and to open our eyes and heart to it and to guide us on the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, biznillahi ta'ala, we'll talk about other things tomorrow. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to practice what we hear and we preach and not to hold us responsible because we say something and if we don't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly and we should not fall into that trap. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.